Thank you, Pastor. This won't be long. I just had to find the scriptures in my Bible. So I was with the Lord today, and he directed me to pray for the nations. And in the course of doing that, he showed me the church in every nation throughout the world. There is an image of the church that is being portrayed by the world. They're not televising or really truly reporting on what God is doing, because there is a movement at work to diminish the power and position of the church in every sphere of influence. And so when the church is portrayed, the image is of a dying church in decay, in ruin, who is struggling and actually needs to fight for relevance in this new glorious age that is being brought to us through the mechanism and machinations of secular humanism. If you look out into the world, we look so powerless. Things we've prayed for and asked God for and decreed and stood on, they don't seem to be happening. In fact, just the opposite. It is meant to discourage you the way it is being reported and portrayed. But the truth is, the vices of secular humanism, they're in decay. They're in decline. They are passing away. The church is rising. And I want to show you the scripture, share with you the scriptures that God gave. And this is for your encouragement. Until this morning in prayer, I always thought this passage was referring to money and financial resources. I had no idea. It was talking about souls. It's Isaiah 62, verse 8 and 9. It says, "The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies. And the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts." These gatherers and these laborers, these are generations of people who have prayed and sought the Lord for the harvest. These are ministers of the gospel who have dedicated their life to harvesting sons and daughters, and have proclaimed the word and labored and not seen the harvest. Maybe some here, some there, but not truly seen the harvest. Why? Because you sow into these people or into these fields, and it seems like the world just comes and plucks them and carries them away. But here we have a promise that these fields, which Jesus, our Lord, referred to as being white with harvest, we will harvest them. They will be gathered into the body. Everything that God said, everything he's promised about this time and in this generation is coming to pass. In verse 10, we have the manifestation of preparation that is going into verses 8 and 9. It says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the people. God's body is being prepared to receive these, as well as to go out and restore these back to the Lord. It's not just this church over here or this one church over there on YouTube. It's this church and many others like it throughout the nations. We are not weak, we are strong, because our strength is from the Lord. And we are not dying or in decay. We are not limited to an age. We're eternal. It is secular humanism that is in decay, because it is not yet time for lawlessness to reign. And so that's my second scripture, and I'm going to hurry up to it because I want to hear what the Lord has to say through our minister. I should have used my phone, guys. I apologize. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8a. You remember that word I shared with you, that vision about the fountains of the deep, about prayers, angelic traffic, and the reason why is because darkness is ruled over and held in check through the body of Christ, aided by the Holy Spirit. God doesn't come and do it for us. And as he has been speaking to us in personal times and in our prayers on Tuesdays and Saturdays and through his word and even in time past and through Pastor Jim and all kinds of anointed ministers and whatever, it is through us that the princes of the power of the air, the rulers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, will be brought into check. There is a time for Satan to rise. There is a season for secular humanism to dominate the entire world. That season is not now. Verse 5. Oh, sorry, guys. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's Christ, his body aided by the Holy Spirit. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Their plans, their great reset, their desire to strip us of paper money, all of these schemes, all of the infiltration we've seen in governments and in education and in these mountains is going to be overturned. The church will gain ascendancy. She will be glorious. She will be courted. Her glory will be seen. You can trust that because God promised. Faithful is he who promised, and he will bring it to pass through the cooperation of his saints.
Thank you, Miss Aisha. I know that many people have said the things that are happening in the earth are supposed to happen. They're going to happen. God said they will happen. It's in the word that it's going to happen. So there's nothing we can do to stop it. But we have to understand that there are seasons and timing, and the enemy would like to hasten what he wants to do to catch many unawares. And if he could get enough believers to agree with him, then it could be a little challenging. And that's why it's important, what we talked about Sunday, seeing him, that each one of us are listening to the head to understand what the Lord is saying right now, because it's not up to the news media. It's not up to the AP. It's not up to our opinions. It's not up to everyone that stands in the pulpit what's going to happen. It's up to God. What does God say? And it's so important that we listen to that, because even the best of the prophets can miss it sometimes. And, you know, when we hear, and I believe I hear something in my spirit, and then I hear someone else say, well, I heard this, and we begin to realize, yeah, that resonates with what God showed me. And realizing that the enemy has tried to hasten his time to pull out some of the plans that God has for the church. But we know that the one who is being withheld, Jesus, is held into the heavens until everything that God has prophesied is fulfilled. And one of those things is that we would lend to many and borrow from none. How many people are borrowing from the church right now? So we got some work to do. There are still some things ahead of us that God is going to do. I'm going to share just a little bit about that, should the Lord allow. Can I have a writing instrument, please? Make a note. Thank you. Something that the Lord just reminded me of. I have tonight some thoughts. I don't have a long outline. I don't have an objective and 3 points and 2 supporting scriptures. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I don't necessarily have that tonight. I just have some thoughts in my heart that I've been meditating on and things that the Lord is saying. And I believe that tonight I'm going to teach, as we would say, from the river. Just see where the river, where the flow will take us tonight, what the Lord wants to say to us tonight. It's kind of coming on the heels of Sunday, where we talked about seeing Him, seeing our Redeemer, listening directly to Him. If you were not at prayer Tuesday night, then you might be wondering what this is. If you can see it well enough, you'll know that this big blue stripe through the center is the river, is what I've labeled it, the flow. Remember, and I think it's Ezekiel and Revelation, and it talks about the river that flowed from the temple, from the presence of God, from the place where He dwells. And then Jesus breaks it open, and I think it's John, where He says, if you'll come to Me and believe in Me and the things that I say, from your innermost being will flow the river of God. And we know that there's a little expression at the end of that verse, and it says, when He spoke of the river, He was talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So when we're looking at the river, this is the flow of the Holy Spirit. This is the flow of God through His church, through His people. And as we yield to that flow, everything that He has designated to happen in the church, in the earth, through His chosen ones, through the remnant, if you will, the small portion of those who will actually yield to the river, all of these things are going to happen. From the river, we speak to the nation. We don't speak to the nation out of our fear. Oh, God, I get a little frustrated when I see on Facebook where people say, y'all agree with me with this prayer, and it says, Lord Jesus, if it be Thy will, please come and heal our land. And it hurts my heart, because I realize they don't understand that it is His will. And He wants to heal the land. But He's not going to just move us out of the way and wave a magic wand and it's going to happen. He's going to use us to do it. So as we are in the anointing, in His presence, seeing Him, He's going to say, speak to what's going on right now in the Supreme Court. Speak to what's going on in the streets with the riots. Speak to what's going on in the court system. Speak to these things. Speak life. Speak protection. That's going to flow through us. And so also will, for House of the Lord, KLTTC, Raising Up Intercessors, Mission Botswana, the Fivefold Ministry, Mothers and Fathers, Outreach, the finances, everything that's going to flow is going to be because we yield to the Holy Spirit, yielding to His anointing, seeing Him high and lifted up, seeing Him in His Word. And He's going to say, Brother John, I want you to do this. And Brother John's going to cooperate, and about the same time, he's going to say, Sister Tina, I want you to do this. And then at about the same time, he may say, Rosie, Sister Rosie, I want you to do this. And we'll see a beautiful symphony coming together of things that weren't scripted. They're not done by committee. There's not an outline somewhere that says, okay, first we have to do this. Everybody shut up and do this. As some things are done in some churches by committee. But it's just going to be by the flow of the Holy Spirit, organic, if you will. It's just going to rise up because we are all listening to him. And that's why he says, if you will follow me, I can use you. But if you're trying to follow, yes, you can be a believer. You can be saved and going to heaven and not following him. Because he didn't say those who are saved are the grown-up, mature adult sons of God. They're children of God. But he said, those who are led by the Spirit, those who are led by the river, the flow, the unction, those are the sons of God. So I want to talk about some of those things tonight. As we grow in maturity, we add skills. We've talked about this before. You know, you have your kids, and at a certain point, they learn how to take care of that potty business all by themselves. And then, hallelujah, they learn how to brush their teeth. Well, we don't quit taking care of the potty business when we learn to brush our teeth. We're going to add to it. And then we're going to add to it personal hygiene. And then we're going to add to it cleaning up after yourself. And then we're going to add to it finding your own breakfast on Saturday morning so mom can sleep in just a little bit. And we're going to add to these things as we go. And eventually, you're not only taking care of yourself, you're being useful to the family. So, you know, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees one time, and he said, these things you should do without neglecting the others. So what I want to talk about tonight is not anything that anyone has done wrong. It's just a matter of we're moving on. We've not shifted paths. We've not jumped from, well, we were over here doing this in the kingdom and all of a sudden everything is different and we're over here. It's the same path. We're on the same path. Now you could call it Act Two maybe, because we've had faith through knowledge. That's the teaching, that's the understanding, that's the growing. And now we're on Act Two, which is producing. We're producing truth in action. So we're moving along the course just as God wants us to. We're right where we need to be. But in order to go forward, there's some things we're going to have to embrace. Some things we're going to have to do. Going into this new place that God has called us to. It's the same path, but we're coming into a different terrain, if you will, a different era. Same path, same God, same will, plan, and purpose, different tools, different ways to accomplish the vision. God has taken us to a new place, and it takes new thinking and new comprehending of the heart of God. This is an important question to ask yourself tonight. Are you willing to make some adjustments? Are you willing to learn some things from people that are younger than you? Are you willing to consider the outside possibility that just perhaps you don't know it all yet? And maybe there's some ways of thinking that need some adjusting. It's not wrong. It's not going to send you to hell. It's just not going to get you over that next hill where you need to go to accomplish his will. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to humble ourselves? Is pride in the way? Are we too quick to argue for what we've always done? This is the way we've always done it. This is what I've always believed. Well, maybe you don't have to unbelieve that. Maybe you just need to bring something else in alongside. Are you willing to admit that maybe, just maybe, there's more things to consider than you thought there were? Possibility. You know, just about the time we think we have things figured out, we understand this is what life is about. I've raised my children. I understand, you know, gone through so many things, so many adjustments. I've learned so much, you know, grown up in the church, been in leadership, blah, 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 blah. And you think you've got it figured out. And all of a sudden, God introduces a whole parallel universe that requires paradigm shifts, mental shifts, and changes in perspective. Wow. We haven't been this way before. You know, at 57, I would have thought I'd pretty much seen most of it. But God always has more. He always has new. There's always another depth, always another level, Miss Mary. If we're willing, He will take us there. And it gets, did you ever get promoted into that job that you were just really hoping for? You just knew you could do it. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to make more money. This is so cool. I can't wait. I love that idea. And you get promoted and you go from, I mastered everything about that, to, I know nothing. That learning curve, they call it, that like throws you off the merry-go-round. I have no clue what I'm doing. Is very unsettling, and it's very humbling when you're turning around to people you call kids and saying, how does this work again? It happens. And I think, you know, God does that just to keep us from getting so settled and so rigid. And if you can roll with it, and if you can be patient with yourself, and if you can say, I don't care who I have to ask, I need to learn, it can be fun. And then suddenly you've mastered a whole nother area, and you can do that and this. So it's a good thing, but it doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always feel good, but you have to be willing to embrace the change, embrace the different. Okay, God, what are you saying? What are you showing me? And He will talk to you. And sometimes He just says, shh, just be patient, just wait. So how uncomfortable do I have to get, God? Just wait. He knows. He knows exactly what you need. And that's where you have to trust His heart. Trust His heart. Coming into a new phase ourselves, I spoke today with Qatar Airways, and we've scheduled a flight for Pastor Kempo to head back to Botswana, pastor a church, to work with a ministry, to work with kids, to work with young people. It's an exciting time. Things that we talked about, you know, someday in the sweet by and by, a few years from now, I don't know. I really think pastoring a church is in order. Bam. Here it is. Here it is. But you know what that means? That means He has to leave. It's just about the time I got accustomed to this son. Now He's going to go. But I understand that He has to go because it means the lives, the souls of thousands upon thousands that right now today are hopeless. They have nothing to look for. They go to church and it looks just like the witch doctors. They go to the witch doctor and they sound like the church because that's all they've ever heard. And there's no hope there because there's division. There's no life there. There's no economy there that they can jump into. It's not like here where you could even be president someday. You can be whatever you want to be. It's not so easy over there right now. So I realize I have to go into this new place and this new phase, uncomfortable again, to see what God wants to do. But I hope you understand that this was not about Richard and Michelle found a son and bonded, and so now we have to support him. God said, this is a minister that I'm raising up, that I'm calling you to, before He ever said anything about a son. And we are called to support that in this church. And we have a choice to be obedient to God or not. You have a choice to be obedient to God or not? Are you going to come alongside that vision or not? This is not taking care of Michelle's son. I haven't asked you to take care of Jared. I haven't asked you to support Lauren. They're in churches with ministries that are supporting them. But this is the ministry that God brought here to begin our call to change the world. To change the world. Do you understand that? The opportunity that we have? Because when we obey, when we seek first his kingdom, and he says right here, then he's going to add the stuff. He's going to take care of everything else. But we have to be willing to shift gears, because Pastor Jim never said anything about Botswana. What in the world? But do you know that we built a church in Nigeria? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars that were sent over there. People went over there. Back and forth over there, working with ministries there, and I believe that church is still there. One of the few that actually teaches the uncompromising word of God. So you see, that was part of his heart and his vision as well, if you needed to know that. But the most important thing is, who said? Did Michelle say? Did Richard say? Or did God say? How are you going to know that? Are you just going to trust me on blind faith? Ah, Pastor Michelle, she hears from God. Whatever she says is fine. What if I miss it someday? How do you know? You need to go to God and say, what's my part? Well, he hasn't told me to give anything, and, you know, I don't give just because there's a need. Okay, I agree. But he called this church to support that ministry. Are you part of this church? That's, what is that, simple algebra? Have you adjusted to that? Or are you still sitting back going, I don't know, that's new, that's different. I never heard that from Pastor Jim. You know, it's not really up to you and what you think about it. It's not up to me and what I think about it. I had to go to God over and over and over and over again, because the man that I always went to help me know if I was hearing from God, he was gone. God, I think you said this, but wow, I never heard anything like that. This is what? I know I heard from God, but do you know? Do you know? Are you ready for that change? Have you even considered the possibility that you might someday think about wondering if you should even go to Botswana? Do you know what a boost it is to people over there when someone from another country comes in and says, I just want to love on you. I just want to see how I can help you. I just want to share whatever it is that you need. Have you considered that? Or is your career ladder and your retirement fund more important than where God may want to take you? I know I'm stepping on some toes. I know it sounds harsh, but my heart had to get to this place. I know God wants us blessed. I know he wants us walking in abundance. He wants to meet every need. But he needs to know that I'm willing to give up everything. And there was a time when we talked about, do we just need to sell everything that we have? Maybe mooch off our other kids for a while, live with one for a little bit, one for another little bit, because I'm willing to put everything that I have into this and I'm ready to go. God said, okay, let's back up a little bit. But we have to come to that place where we're willing. And when you're willing, he's probably not going to ask you to do that. But is your heart there? So let me get into the scripture a little bit. Isaiah chapter 43. I'm sure you've heard this one. A lot of people have been bringing this out because it's true. And through Isaiah, the Lord is saying, remember not the former things. The primary things, the stuff you used to do, neither consider the things of old. For behold, I will do a new thing. I will accomplish and advance something fresh. And now it will spring forth. It will sprout. It's new growth. What does it take to have really good new growth on that plant in your front yard? Pruning. Pruning. You know, I used to watch my mom go out there and just pinch stuff off. And I was like, how does she know where to pinch? I don't even know what she's doing. I don't do plants, y'all. But she would just pinch and pinch and pinch and work on it and pinch and pinch and pinch. And about 2 days, all of this fresh green leaves would be on there. So beautiful. But you know what? That pinching hurts. God. Ow. Ow. I wanted that. I wanted that leaf right there, God. And God's like, oh, but you need to get a vision of what I'm going to do. Because I want to do a new thing. But you got to get rid of some of the old for that. He says, will you not know it? That's the same word that I shared Sunday from Daniel, where he said, those who know their God, to ascertain, to perceive by seeing, observing, will you not know it? Will you not perceive what I'm doing? See with the eyes of your spirit. I will even make a way in the wilderness, in the desert, in the uninhabited places. I will make a course of life and rivers in the desert. And the beast of the field will honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. See, when we go to those uninhabited desert places and God blesses us there, it blesses everyone around us. That's what God wants to do, is to bless the earth through us. But it's new, it's different. And then God said, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. You know, God chose praise as a testimony. In other words, he didn't just go into places and do a bunch of miracles so that people would know, oh, that's God, because there's a miracle. They knew, oh, that's God, because these people are praising him for what he did. That's the testimony he wants. He wants us giving him praise for those rivers in the desert. That's what Botswana needs right now, literally and spiritually, rivers in the desert. But how does that happen? Let's jump over to Matthew 9, and this is fascinating because Sister Leticia, I already had this typed in some notes. I didn't know I was teaching it tonight. I was just studying the word and putting things together, and I had this in my notes. Matthew 9, starting in verse 16, Jesus is talking, and he says, no man puts a piece of new cloth on an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up takes from the garment, and the tear gets worse. Now, I don't think God wants us to go find some old cloth to put on the old garment. He wants a new garment, a new garment. He wants everything new, the whole process new. You can't take a piece of revelation and fit it into old processes. Just because you sing a contemporary worship song doesn't mean that your worship is fresh. Have you come to a new place of seeing him? When you sing, does it take you somewhere fresh and new? Because you can have fresh and new revelation and amazing grace. It's not about the vehicle necessarily. It's about your relationship with him. Is it fresh? And it says, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, or the bottles will break and the wine runs out and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, new leather or new skin that they would put it into so that it can expand. Because when it gets old, it gets rigid and brittle. And then when the wine effervesces and it expands, it breaks. Rigid, tough, unbending, unyielding, not willing to change. Did you know that you can regenerate an old wineskin? Do you know how to regenerate, literally, an old wineskin? You soak it in oil. You soak it in oil. Have we become rigid and unyielding, not willing to do things differently? we need to soak in the anointing, because he will make us able to expand without breaking, to change, to bend without hearing, you know, snap, crackle, pop. He can do that for us. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not become discouraged, wearied out through fear, though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed. Renewed. Are you being renewed progressively, continually? It's not a one-time process. It's not abracadabra, bam, and suddenly you're a new person. It's a little bit at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, constantly in the process of being renewed. When you look up renewed there, it means to cause to grow up. Ouch. Making me grow up. God wants mature believers. So let's talk just a little bit about that process, a couple of things, and then Pastor Richard, we're tag teaming again. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 10, if then you've been raised with Christ to a new life, aim at and seek the things that are above, the treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind and keep them set on what is above and not on the things on the earth. Now, is that a process that we seek the Lord and he makes it happen? That sounds like a trick question, I know, but the understood subject there is you. Set your mind. You make a choice. You choose what you think about. Oh, but it's so hard because I just get so worried. Well, if it was impossible, he wouldn't have told us to do it. I remember being taught that when the man of God gives you something to do, the equipping is in the assignment. The equipping is there. So we can choose what we think about. It says, for as far as the world is concerned, you have died. Dead men have no rights. Dead men have no opinions. And your life, your real life, your new life is hidden with Christ in God. So in verse 5, he says, so you kill and deprive of power the evil desire that lurks in your members. Now, I'm not sure that we have anyone sitting in this assembly that's wrestling with whether or not to murder someone. Probably not trying to not go home and, you know, hit the cocaine. Probably. I don't know for sure. But we need to understand that when he's talking about depriving of power, the evil desire lurking in your members, sometimes that evil desire is just a matter of, I want what I want. Just saying. Getting rid of those impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, that's anything unlike God. He's saying get rid of it. Unholy desires, greed, covetousness, for that's idolatry. The deifying of self and other created things instead of God. But God, I want. How many times, parents, have we dealt with that with a toddler? But I want. But I want, Jared, but I want to go outside. 3 years old, crying, throwing a fit, but I want to. It's lightning. It's thundering. It's storming. We're under a tornado warning. We could lose you forever. You could fly off to Idaho. You can't go outside right now. But I want to. Sometimes when I talk to God, it's like a hologram. I flash into that three-year-old Jared, and then there's me, and then there's three-year-old Jared, because God, I want. We have to trust him. Does he know best? Does he know best? Verse 8 says, you put away, rid yourselves completely of anger, rage, bad feeling towards others. Bad feelings towards others. We got to walk together. We have to walk together as one. So we have to put those things aside. And in verse 10, it says, and you have clothed yourselves with a new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge after the image, the likeness of Him who created us. We're constantly being renewed if we choose to cooperate with that process. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Present your bodies. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, when you renew your mind, you're able to discern the will of God. God, what do you want? 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 He's going, read my word, read my word, read my word, read my word. Read the word. Read the word. Because that transforms you to be able to flow with what He wants. Amen? So Jeremiah, shifting gears just a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus says the Lord. I remember Brother Ken teaching on this one time, and it was awesome. I'm going to share just a little bit about that. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the eternal paths where the good old way is. Yes, let's do it the good old way. Why do we have to sing new songs? I like the old songs. They were just fine. Why do we have to put the tables out? I like sitting in rows. It's how church is supposed to be. Now, I know we have preferences, and there are things I like about the tables and things I like about the chairs. I'm not fussing at anybody about that. Everybody has a preference. That's not a problem. It's when you can't come in and worship God because stuff is in the way. That's where the challenge is. But the seeking out the old way, it does not mean the old way that man used to do things. If you look in that scripture there, the word there is a Hebrew word, olam. The old, the ancient, the eternal paths. Olam is it's a way to see things outside of time. Everlasting is a word that's often translated as what was before time and what continues after time. Seek out the way that God does things because He is outside of time. The old way is the way that He started before He even made us. Seek out those paths, the ways that transcend time, and then walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. And He said, I set watchmen over you, in verse 17, saying, hear and obey the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen or obey. The translation there says, I've raised up those who will look out, keep watch over you, and told you to listen, hear, and be attentive, and hearken, and pay attention to the sound of their voice and their warnings. We've heard time and time and time again the word of the Lord come to this house that says, it's a new day, it's a new way. There are new things going on, and you're going to have to get with a program or you're going to get left behind. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. And I feel for all of the people. I remember Sister Tina one time saying, can we please just find out who it is and let's get this taken care of? Because I have searched my heart so many times and said, God, is it me? God, is it me? And I'm looking around and I really think the people in this room are with us, God. What's going on? But we don't always know what's in their hearts. We don't always know. And sadly, every once in a while, we see it kick up. Or somebody says, I think y'all need to do it this way. And it's like, oh, that's not what God said. That's not what God said. And they don't want to come back to church until we decide to do it that way. I didn't say it. I'm going to love you. But God said, I'm going to have to make some changes. So listening to the people that he has set in our midst that are saying, you better step it up. So I've got one more thing to share real quick. Whew. Sorry. You know, I think when I have fewer pages, it's going to be shorter. I'm deceived. Luke chapter 14, and I'm just about done, Richard, if whenever you want to come on up. Luke chapter 14, start in verse 25. Now, huge crowds were going along with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, and Jesus turned and said to them, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them, yes, this is the Amplified, relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God, and likewise his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus said that. Oh, but we live under grace. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. There is mercy. And if you have that attitude and you walked outside and God forbid you got hit by a Mack truck, I believe you would go to heaven. But laying up treasures in heaven, not so much. Doing the will of God on the earth, fulfilling your destiny, finding your purpose, changing lives of people around you, not so much. You're not a disciple. You're a child of, but you're not a disciple. I can remember Kimpo telling me that, I don't know, I don't want to embarrass him, but anyway, if anyone was interested in him in a relationship, he said, if you wouldn't leave me for God, I'm not interested in you. And they would have to go away and meditate on that a little bit. Like, what are you talking about? But if you wouldn't leave me for God, then you're not very useful. Because there can't be anything between you and God. Not even your spouse, not your checkbook, not your college fund for your babies. Nothing. Nothing. And he says, for which of you wishing to build a farm building doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see whether he has sufficient means to finish it? Otherwise, he's laid the foundation and he can't finish it, and everybody that sees it will begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able or worth enough to finish it. Or what king going out to engage in conflict with another king will not first sit down and consider and take counsel whether he's able with 10,000 men to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? If he can't do so, when the other king is still a great way off, he sends an envoy and asks the terms of peace. So then, any of you who does not forsake, renounce, surrender claim to, give up, and say goodbye to all that he has cannot be my disciple. Cannot be. Counting the cost is not how you run your building program. That's not what he's talking about. When he says count the cost, he says be aware that it might cost you everything. And for many of these men, it did. It cost them their lives. Count the cost. Because we're coming into a new era and it's all in or nothing. Because if you're not all in, you're not going to be able to accomplish the task. The stakes are higher. Because we're coming into a season where the enemy knows his time is short. He ain't playing. And if you're not all in, you will be drawn away of your own lusts, of your own comfort zone. What are you willing to give up? You know, I need at least 4 nights a week at home for myself because I work and I have this and I have that. And I see people that are working 2 jobs and have kids and are trying to make ends meet. And they're here Sunday morning, and they're usually here Sunday night for a meeting, and they're here Tuesday night for prayer, and they're here Wednesday night for church, and they're here Thursday night for praise team practice, and then they're here Saturday night for prayer, and then they're here Sunday morning again, and they just keep coming back. Why? Because they're all in. Because they're all in. Now, we've talked about there's coming a day when everybody's not going to be able to be at everything that happens at House of the Lord. I understand that. But make sure you're examining your heart. You can't put self-care above God. Are you all in? We can't go where we need to go with partial obedience. Jesus said to count the cost. Are you willing to lay it all down? I'm not saying you'll have to. I'm not saying God wants you to. He doesn't want you to do without. But what did he say? If you've forsaken these things for me, I'll give it back to you in this lifetime. But it was the willing heart. It was the willing heart that said, I don't care because the stuff doesn't matter. I would love to have a huge house. I would love to have 4,000 or 5,000 square feet. I would love to have all of these things, but I don't want any of those to the exclusion of souls being saved and people's lives being changed and people that have nothing. They get so excited over a bag of rice and some flour and some beans, and it just made their day. I don't need that Starbucks coffee every day. If I can do that for somebody else, I'm not trying to guilt anybody. Please, please don't hear that. Hear what I had to change, what I had to say. You know what, God? That stuff doesn't matter. And when it doesn't matter at all, when you're seeking first his kingdom, he's going to add it. He's going to bring it because that's the kind of God he is. I know he is. He's faithful. He loves us. He put all the toys in the earth for us. When I say toys, I mean diamonds and fancy cars and beautiful houses. He put all of those things in the earth for his children, not for the world to enjoy. But this is what I saw in prayer the other night in Isaiah chapter 9, where it talks about unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Where are the shoulders? That's the body. The government is on the body of Christ. And of the increase of his peace and his government, his empire, his way of conducting the economy through his people, there will be no end to the increase. Increase. That sounds good. It sounds wonderful. God wants to increase us as we rule and reign in the earth, just as Sister Aisha was talking about. But then it says a couple of verses down, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Not our zeal to possess it, but our zeal to lay everything at his feet and say, God, I don't need any of that. I need you. I don't want any of that stuff to the exclusion of you. I got to have you, and I've got to be obedient to your will and do what you say. And then promotion comes. And then, because you have faithfully not grown attached to those things, he can give you more things, all kinds of things. But understand, this is not a lesson on how to get things. Because if you're trying to figure out how to twist it just right to get the things, you miss the point. And the point is doing his will, doing what he wants. God, what do you want? Not going to God saying, this is what I want. Based on this scripture, I want this. And based on this scripture, I want this. And based on this scripture, he said, put me in remembrance of my word. But at what point do you say, God, what do you want? And what's your plan? How do you want to do this? Because your zeal is going to perform putting me there when I choose to put you first.
Don't go away too far. You notice all I brought up was a phone. I don't have notes. I'm not reading anything, or we're just going to, we're going to listen to Sister Gail. She gave a word last Saturday during prayer meeting. So if you were here, you'll recognize this. This is, there you go. That's your phone. It's part of the basis for what Michelle was just talking about. So listen carefully. I'm just going to put the microphone to the phone, so you should just be able to able to hear it pretty well.
I have called you for such a time as this. I have called. I called. I anoint. I appoint. It is not what the world does. It does not matter that you're a small house. It does not matter. What matters is who I have chosen. You have been chosen from the beginning of time. You need to stop looking, stop expecting the way it has been. It's a new day and a new time. I am going to do things so much differently. In fact, I am already doing it differently from what has been in the past. The old ways are not the new ways. This is a new season, a new time, and a new day for you to walk in my way, in my anointing. You need to listen to me. Don't let people tell you how it has been, for I am not doing old things. I never do old things. It's a new season and a new time, and it's a quickening time. It's a quickening time. I am moving, and you don't even understand how fast I am moving and where you are in the timeline of what I am doing. It is not what you think, but it is what you hear from me. It is what you will believe me for. When it is supernatural, there is nothing that man has seen, there is nothing that man has done that they can compare to what I am going to do today and now. You are in a new season and a new time. You have a new leadership. You need to just open yourself on a daily basis to what I am doing. Don't even look at what was yesterday, but what are the steps I am to take today, Lord? How do I line up with what you want? What is it that I am to do so that you can have your way? How do I bow so that you can move and manifest, so that if I walk out my door and you say go left and my car is on the right, I will go left because you have something down there that I am to do. Seek me in new ways every day. Every day there is something different that you can do, that you will be lined up with what I am doing. I don't want what has gone before. I don't want what man has built before. I want the people who are willing to seek me and to do that which seems abnormal, strange, but because they know that I said, do it this way, they will do it and they will see the manifestation of great and mighty things. I am going to show the world that they have not seen greatness. They have not built anything that is great. What will come from now on will be so supernatural, so off the charts, that they will be amazed. I told you they're going to beat a path to your door, because what happens in this house will not have happened before. But it will bring people who are seeking a new way, who want the true manifestation of the Son of God. I'm telling you, it's a new day and a new way. Are you going to walk in it? Or are you going to look for the old path? For the old path is not going to take you to the new way.
Amen. Amen. It's a new way. We haven't done it this way before. So we're kind of all in the same boat. We're all together. And there's only one that can lead us, and that is our Lord. So we each one have to hear his voice and follow after him. Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father God, for your great Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that you sent to us to show us your heart, to lead us to your Son, and bring back to remembrance all that you said, all that you did, and to show us the way, to be our guide, to be our way, to be our path. And Father, I thank you that as we have heard your word and we've heard the admonition of counting the cost, of being willing to give it all up for the kingdom. But Father God, we are not deceived. We are not deceiving ourselves by knowing that, oh, you wouldn't ask that of me. But Father God, I am willing. Let us all be willing. Help us to be willing to give you all of our time, all of our efforts, all of our strength, all of our attention, all of our obedience to you, Father God, so that when you do say, okay, go here, talk to this person, or touch this person, or inquire of this person, that we are obedient, Father. Thank you. Thank you that the word has gone forth and you said that it would not return to you void, but it will accomplish what you have sent it to. And Father, I thank you that even if we have totally missed it and what your word has said was not what we said, we still know that your word has gone forth and you will be faithful to your word. And Father, I thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your loving kindness, and for your heart that wants us more than we can even imagine to be prosperous and successful in the things that you desire from us, the things that you require from us. That Father God, that we live and we move and breathe in you and through you, and that you always cause your best to be ours when we are willing and obedient. You said that we would eat the good of the land. So, Father, I thank you for each one that is here, everyone in this building and everyone watching by live stream. Father, that you speak to our heart. Holy Spirit, that you have communicated the heart of the Father to us, and that you are molding us, you're changing us, you're remaking us in new ways, as new wineskins, as new in you, Father God. New things in the river that is flowing from your throne. We thank you, Father God, that you are bringing us into places we've never been, but they're great places, Father God. They're beautiful places, and we celebrate and rejoice in all that you are doing. And together we say, yes, we will. Yes, we will. According to your will. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let the word be life to us. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just offer a praise to God right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we are willing. Yes, we are obedient to your word, to your will, to your plan for the kingdom of God. For your kingdom, Father. Hallelujah, 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 that you draw us to you, Father God, and that you cause all the things that we have need of to be added to us because we seek first, not second, not third, not fourth. We seek first your kingdom, and everything else is going to be added to us. And you give good gifts. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you are the blessed of the Lord. And everything that you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because it is in obedience and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He leads us and guides us always in truth, triumph, and victory. And he causes us to be surrounded with favor. And in everything, everywhere, we are his representatives and we do his will. As he instructs us, as he prompts us, we fulfill the will of the Father. You are loved. You are blessed. Don't forget the announcements, things that are coming up. It's going to be happening fast and furious. And real quick, there are